We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What will the first two rounds of Superflex rookie drafts look like in 2024? That is what we're going to talk through on today's show, as well as answering some listener questions about dynasty strategy and diving into Sean's thoughts on his most recent article up on rotoviz.com, looking at those two rounds in terms of ranking the players where he expects, I guess, the fantasy football community to value them when it comes to rookie draft time. Sean, I had some people reach out today looking about rankings and more information, because rookie drafts already up and running across some of the leagues, and it's always around this time that we'll see more and more, but still early days. I like my leagues to still wait after the NFL draft. What's your favorite time to start those rookie drafts? How quick do you want to get? I feel like I want to get the landing spot before I'm committing to these rookie picks.
Yeah, I think for the most fairness in your league, and to maybe limit the turnover in the future that might result from someone having a very bad draft as a result of some of the misinformation that's put out there. I mean, one of the things people can say is, that you need to do your research and know where players are likely to be drafted. And yet, I mean, there is enough smoke before some of these moves that, especially if you're desperate for a QB, I think you can get stuck with some selections that destroy a ton of value. And we all have individual favorites that we're pretty high and we want to get on those teams. And that can cloud your vision a little bit in terms of where they do actually go. If they drop from the mid-second into the late fourth, you end up there on day three. You could have gotten that player a full round and a half later in most situations. You want to not overpay. Now, having said that, I'm in several leagues that do draft before the NFL draft. I think those are a lot of fun. And I certainly am not criticizing leagues that are like that at all, as in the vast majority of cases, you knew what you were getting into. And so I think to add that extra uncertainty and to give people a chance to really call their shots in terms of where the players are going to go, I love that element too. And Colin, to an extent, that's what I have done in the article that is up on the site. And the goal with it is not necessarily to give you my rankings, but to put out a projection of what I think, A, that the NFL community will do, and then B, what I think that fantasy managers are going to do based on that information. So you're projecting a couple of layers and a couple of levels into the future. But once you get that athletic chunk to go with what you know in terms of the production, I think that we can start to make some pretty informed decisions. Now, there are going to be situations in which red flags come up. There are going to be situations in which individual players do have maybe some scouting traits that are going to work much better than others, and you're going to be able to put some nuance onto the production in ways that NFL front offices know how much of that is baked in a little bit more than we do as outsiders. And yet, even with throwing those caveats in, it's still a very fun exercise. And Colin, the reason that we do that is that we want to get a little bit of a feel for where we need to move in our draft. So you and I have the 107. I have a lot of drafts where we have the 105, the 106, have drafts with the 112, have a few picks at the 101. Again, mention here that if you're in the FFPC Triflex leagues, one of the fun things that happens is that you have to play the toilet bowl. You have to play the backdraw to win the 101. And so the 101 in some ways is a badge of honor as opposed to a situation where you manage to tear everything down to where you have the very worst possible team. Colin, we're going to look a little bit at some of the notes I have here in the article. You're going to use that as the frame to look at some questions that we have gotten from listeners, including one of our favorites, Nick Greenwood, who we have had on the show. Obviously, he had a spectacular best ball season last year. Colin, he's asking about a dynasty team that he has in some of the elements with perpetual reloading, with moving down in rookie drafts, how we would deal with some of these orphans. Colin, you and I have not purchased an orphan in the FFPC yet this year. We might do that. There are a lot of great teams out there. We did do that last year. We had the Dynasty Reanimators series. This is kind of a Reanimators question and a very good one within the context of 2024 rookie drafts.
Yeah, and the other thing that I want to mention is it's great over the last couple of days. We've got more and more questions and topics coming in from listeners that we're going to try and implement into the shows over the next couple of weeks and months. So if you do have any topics or questions, even around your team, we try and then make it into maybe a bigger picture conversation. But that is what Nick has done here. And lots of questions, Sean, coming in around the perpetual reload, which I love at this time of the year, because people may have come in last year and started listening to the podcast, but they may have been here for 2, 3, 4 years listening, and you know, you can see how the teams are developing. So those questions always fun to have as well. But Nick is looking about this rookie class, particularly for Dynasty. He mentions, considering the depth of this year's rookie class at QB and wide receiver plus Bowers, are you willing to trade back as you normally are? And he mentioned specifically from the top seven. So that would sound like he is a tier of about seven. And would you trade back beyond that? Because we often talk, Sean, trading in some of the startups, but also the rookie drafts can be a superpower to load up on those current and future picks to continue to load up on those assets. He mentioned, if so, what sort of trades are you targeting with the pick values being so high? If you want to get specific, he said he took over, and he puts in brackets, a very, very aged Superflex, Triflex style orphan team a couple of years ago, and after last season, decided to completely detonate the roster. Sean, have we come up with, is there a, we don't have a phrase for detonating the team yet. No, that might be something we when you completely tear it down. But in the aftermath, he mentioned that he managed to get Fields 1, 2, and 3 picks this year in terms of the 1st, 2nd, 3rd overall. So the only player he is certain to draft is Marvin Harrison. With that in mind, he's having trouble deciding how he wants to attack quarterback, assuming he takes Caleb, and then what to do with the 103. He said his lean is to just take Neighbors and shoe any trade back value that would take him out of the running for Neighbors, May, or Daniels. But in doing that, he feels like he might be leaving so much meat on the bone of the 103 pick that the options just seem wrong. So he kind of wants to know, should he trade back? Should he stay where he is? And what other thoughts we may have in between on that? And Sean, one of the conversations that we tend to have, you know, particularly around this time of year, is that top tier, like, where are you willing to split? It might be picks 1 through 3, or, you know, this tier, and then 3 through 6 are a tier. And then, because we had it last year and we had a couple of those tight ends, including the likes of Sam Laporta, that we would be interested at then, you know, at the back end of the first round. So trading back from 6 to 10 wasn't that big of a concern. But how are you feeling this year with those kind of top 7 picks, or have you a feeling at the moment of where those tier breaks may be, and where you're kind of willing to make those moves back to? This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, hang out with friends, read a book. So many options. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The best way to squeeze some more into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make that a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I began therapy in early 2023 and I found it has helped me set boundaries, learn positive coping skills, and add a lot to my day to day, and some of that being prioritization to be able to focus on what is important at that time rather than trying to focus on everything that is going on in my life at that exact moment, which leads you to not be in the moment because you're thinking about stuff that is out of your control. And having that awareness has helped me throughout my day today. And that is something that I have found to be very positive for me. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rotoviz today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rotoviz.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, this is a similar question in many ways to what Bjorn and I are having to deal with or having to answer in our Triflex League, where last season we did basically a perpetual reload rookie draft or startup draft, where there's some punt elements to it. If you hit it the right way, then you can be competitive right from the beginning. But we have our own pick. We have an additional pick. Unfortunately, our team turned out to actually be pretty good, and we didn't get the bye in the back draw, and then we had some quarterback issues down the stretch. We didn't win in the back draw. Six teams in the back draw. We had two of those picks. They did end up being the 105 and the 106, and so you start out and you're frustrated because you had a chance to win the 101 and the 102, even though obviously you don't have control of the other team that is, you know, making moves to do what have you in the back draw. And you're thinking, if I get Caleb Williams, if I get Marvin Harrison, then everything has worked out. And I have this unbelievable team going forward that accomplishes all of the objectives that I had for it. You have the 105, the 106. You're feeling initially like it's not going to be nearly as good. And yet for the reasons that Nick mentioned, this top six is very interesting because you have a quarterback at the top who, again, is considered to be in that, you know, general possible category of a generational type of prospect. And we joke about how, you know, that kind of prospect comes up every 2 or 3 years. It can't all be generational, but I love the mix of attributes that he brings. And one of the things that we said last year is that guys like JSN, which again, the production profile there actually looks very good compared to some of these guys who were supposedly extraordinary prospects this year. One of the things we didn't mention on Monday's show, where we talked a little bit about free agency, is that you're getting some Tyler Lockett in Seattle for several more years, almost for sure, based on the way that that contract has been renegotiated. That's unfortunate. But one of the things that we said last year, even with Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs, another guy that we had extremely high, and that portion of it has paid off very well. If you had those prospects in this draft, you would have Caleb Williams over them. So it's not simply a matter of like fading all quarterbacks. If you have the right guy, you're going to take him at the 101. I think that's what happens in most drafts this year. Then you move into a mix where you have the two star receivers in Harrison and Neighbors. You have Brock Bowers, who I would claim is probably actually the best prospect in this draft. And one of the things that we know with that is that tight ends can be very frustrating to draft in rookie drafts if you don't get that field tilting production from them, and they almost don't even feel playable early in their careers. Then you're thinking, you know, I should have just tried to use some type of Frankenstein's tight end, worked it around in that fashion, and drafted one of these guys who's going to score and is going to be very flex viable to separate my team. So those considerations are going to still be out there, those concerns. But you think about what a Travis Kelce has consistently given people. You think about what Sam Laporta gave people last year and where he's currently being valued. A guy who could come in and do that is someone you don't want to simply move to the back of that tier because he's the tight end. Now, I think he is going to be moved to the back of that tier. So we'll see how that dynamic plays out. But then you have the two additional quarterbacks. And Jaden Daniels and Drake May are more similar to some of the things we were dealing with last year, where the upside is Stroudian and the downside is Youngian, right? And one of the things you're dealing with when you use one of these top picks as a quarterback is you're injecting additional risk or an additional range in terms of how these outcomes could play out. Anywhere from getting a guy like Stroud, who I think should be considered at least in the mix to be the overall QB1 in Dynasty. Column, my new Triflex rankings are out. People can go to the site and see those, including the rookies in that group. And it's an interesting, you know, first couple of rounds, because the first round I think is loaded, and yet where I've placed the quarterbacks might surprise some listeners. When you look at Daniels with this hybrid profile, crazy stats for 2024, that's exactly what you're wanting from a QB that you have in Superflex, especially in these Superflex formats where the QB scoring is mitigated a little bit in order to give you the chance to play other guys at that spot. I mean, you want a guy with this type of rushing upside. In many ways, Jaden Daniels, and I've written about this in the rookie guide, is a version of Anthony Richardson who can really throw the ball as well. Now, the small sample that we got from Richardson last year passing was encouraging. And so I think that you certainly want to continue to move Richardson up, especially if you're not concerned with the injury portion of it. But the flip side of that is with Richardson, you have a lot of room to potentially emerge at the NFL level. And that's a huge risk, because teams that make that leap with quarterbacks in the NFL often are needed to make it again and again over the next 2 or 3 years because those guys fail and fail and fail. But with Daniels, you have the opposite concern of how much of this is simply playing against younger competition and playing with a couple of guys who look like NFL stars. He's got a couple of wide receivers who could go very early in this draft. So a lot of similarities and yet some extremely important differences from Richardson, including just overall size, again, to hold up at the NFL level and do some of the things in the NFL that you did at college. Drake May is a little bit on the opposite end of this, where you're hoping for more of a Josh Allen, Will Levis type of profile to play out at the Allen side as opposed to the Levis side. Now, May has done a lot of things successfully in college that neither Allen nor Levis was able to do, and yet you break down a lot of the individual stats, and we'll have a lot of content on this on the site over the next couple of months. So anybody who's looking for that, you know, jump in. Column, as many of the listeners know, that coupon code is RVRadio2024 for 10% off at checkout. We'll have a lot of these stats, but Sports Info Solutions, which is our provider for so many of the great tools that we have on the site, also working with us on the CFB portion of it. We can break down a lot of the things here. And one of the notes that I was surprised by, and I have to give Zachary Kruger some credit for this, we've been drafting some Superflex best ball teams together and sort of fighting about whether or not we want Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy, obviously at the different prices that those guys would command. McCarthy, much more expensive. But McCarthy actually has numbers and metrics on the types of throws that you are probably going to zero in on a little bit more. Now, one of the things I always push back on, and I do want to remind people, is that the overall ability to run an offense that is dynamic, that scores a lot of points, that part is important. Even if you're getting a lot of help from your teammates, even if you're getting a lot of help from the coaching staff and the scheme, so you don't necessarily want to throw everything away. But one of the things that Travis May did at RotoViz here several years ago was to look at the way in which plays like the jet sweep and plays like play action, where you set up the defense with these other elements to it, and they can be stat inflating play calls. If you strip those out, how do the guys look? You're not going to go into everything today. That's not what this particular show is about. But I was more encouraged by McCarthy after looking through it. I was still looking at May and thinking, all right, this guy could certainly win. He could certainly succeed. You have a big, young, athletic player who could also be a hybrid contributor to reality offenses and fantasy offenses. But there is risk there. So when Bjorn and I are trying to decide, should we make a move to trade from the 105 to the 104 to either get Neighbors or to maybe get Daniels if he falls? How much of that do we want to do? Do we see that as a tier break? We were going to have to pay enough that I don't think that it makes sense. I also think there's a chance that May goes very early in the reality draft. Now, what we're kind of looking at is probably three guys very early, and so that may not distinguish them very much. Where does the fourth guy go? Those parts will be interesting, because after the 106, there is a bit of a tier break, but I also, in this article, write up what I see as the very positive elements of Odunze and Xavier Worthy, the guy that we obviously focused on last week's column podcast, where you went out there and gave a very enthusiastic title to that show. So some additional listeners hitting it as a result of that. I think that when you get to the 107, 108, there's still going to be a potential for those guys to hit. And what you're kind of dealing with those receivers, I don't think is necessarily a lot lower ceiling. I think you're dealing with a lot lower floor. If you trade down and you get something substantial back, and then you hit on the ceiling instead of the floor, you get a similar player to those wide receivers who are going in the top, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks. Having had the guts to go for it is going to deliver something to you. Now, you need to be able to get something back. With the perception of some of these top guys, I think that you can move from the 103, 104 to the 107, 108 in some leagues and even get an additional first-round pick in a future year back. Right, if you can do that, it becomes very compelling, especially as you're doing a rebuild. One of the things right now is that we always think, okay, well, there are so many different things you can do with a first-round pick, but it is in the future, and I could be in a situation where next year the player that I've moved off of is a star, and the guy that I moved down to is just being thrown away, and I don't even know what pick I'm getting back. In some cases, drafters who are willing to give up picks assume that they're going to be high in the draft, right? And so maybe you get a 111, 112. But even when we look at that, we mentioned some of these LSU guys, Brian Thomas, a fantastic combine. Now, I do mention in the article that if we want to keep some of our enthusiasm in check, all we need to do is look at the first three comps in the Workout Explorer, who happen to be Denzel Mims, Devontae Parker, Darius Heyward-Bey, right? A reminder that not all prospects, including athletic prospects, hit. You know, you can look back and be like, oh, we all knew those three guys were big risks. Well, I mean, two of them were drafted in the top 15, so NFL teams didn't know. But when you work through that, and then you add McCarthy, whom I mentioned a minute ago, into the mix, and you get down to 110, I think you can risk moving back a decent amount in this draft. Now, will some of these guys get hit by their landing spot? I mean, you'd like to think that players of this level are not going to be drafted as redundancies, but we saw that happen last year with JSN. We have already witnessed it with some of the weird moves that teams have made in free agency. So you can't really count on NFL teams acting rationally. That's something you always want to remember, because the NFL could throw a wrench in your plans on draft day. If you get enough back, though, Colin, I think this draft is interesting. And then when you get into, you know, round two, even the middle of round two, you have some depth, and you also have a dynamic. And Connor O'Driscoll, looking at this for us on the site, an article that may be out sometime in the next couple of weeks, but this running back class is very weak. And yet, once you adjust for where these players are actually likely to go in rookie drafts, I think you're going to have some interesting running backs there as well. So I think there's a lot that you can do, and I do think that the depth through six gives you a chance to move back within the top six, but also if you have the guts to move out of that range, again, assuming you have you get something very real back. I mean, you need to get something meaningful to move out of that group, but if you do that, the chance for a payoff is pretty exciting.
So two kind of follow-up questions on that, I guess, and one of them is going to be specifically related to people who may have two picks in, say, the top five or the top six, and that is with this quarterback class you mentioned about Williams and the expectations for him, and then talked a little bit about Daniels, but is there any situations here where we, like, where people should be considering taking Williams plus another quarterback in this class? I won't say regardless of need, but if it is a team here that has Justin Fields, who there's some questions around as we record this, where he will be playing in 2024, is the class strong enough to put that much of an investment into this class?
I think that the question that you have is going to more or less always be the same. I'm not really interested in adding May, especially as a third or fourth quarterback. I think whether or not you are in the midst of a rebuild where you need to add two, and a lot of managers will like to have three, when you're looking at Superflex and how you're going to build your team out, once you get up to three, now there are going to be opportunities to get to three or even to four in ways that don't hurt you, right? One of the things that we talked about a lot is that you could have added Jared Goff before the previous season. You could have added Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield before last year. And a lot of people listening are like, yeah, but I mean, I still don't really want those guys. I don't want to play those guys. And yet if they're your third and fourth quarterbacks, it sets you up very nicely because they're going to be individual matchups within the season where those players will work for you. They will cover injuries. And now that we've seen for 2 years in a row that the way that modern NFL is playing, that the injury levels are very, very high, that provides you some opportunities. I think you want to look at building depth in that fashion, where one of the things about Mayfield and Carr is that they're not as old as people tend to think that they are either, right? You're not just getting 1 year from them unless they fall off the cliff. And that possibility is always there when you're talking about a very mediocre QB. And yet even from a contract perspective, one of the things that we're looking at is that these guys are locked into more future value than I think many fantasy managers necessarily realize. I mean, we talked a lot about Russell Wilson on Monday's show. And I mean, this is a player I just really think would be out of the NFL if his contract situation hadn't both made it so he was very expensive and then very, very cheap, right? I mean, you have weird dynamics there that you have to make sure that you're considering as you're looking at those backup QBs. Even someone like a Daniel Jones, I think, is undervalued right now because managers are not considering the difficulty that a team will have actually getting rid of him. And so from that perspective, I like building the depth through those guys. When we have young QBs where the range of outcomes is so vast, the pick is worth so much in a vacuum, and it's worth so much if you hit on other players. I mean, it could be that the next Travis Kelce goes 106 in this draft. You know, do you want a really risky QB instead of that just because the QB position is valuable in Superflex? I would argue that you probably don't, but every team is going to have slightly different needs. Every team is going to address it in a slightly different way. And certainly if you hit on the next CJ Stroud, then you're going to look back and be like, yeah, I'm glad I played the lottery on that one. I think you have to understand how you like to build teams, how comfortable you are with different types of risk profiles, how desperately you need another position. Because one of the things that you see a lot is that there are teams that build exclusively around QB, and they do have QB covered, but the rest of their roster is weak enough that they almost have to draw perfectly to hit players throughout the course of the season that score points for them at the other spots. And certainly in deeper leagues, that runs into a lot of trouble. You see that in the Triflex. I've mentioned that in Curtis's Black Crown League, how much help it has been to me through four seasons to have a ton of firepower at the other positions, even though my quarterbacks have been weak. In a shallower league, I mean, there's almost no way to be successful without having the quarterbacks covered because it's such an important starting position and there aren't that many starting positions. In deeper leagues, I really like to have stars at every position that I'm going to start a player at. And you can overcome a little bit of weakness at QB if you hammer your opponents everywhere else. I think that some QB-centric drafters and managers tend to think that the build that they're doing is going to come to fruition faster than it actually does. You can have elite QBs all you want. If it takes you to year five to have enough production at the other spots to win, then you've been more patient maybe than I would like to be, and maybe more patient in a way that is boring, as opposed to patient in a way that, yeah, I mean, maybe you do have to play some backup QBs sometimes. And if you hit the right week with the right score, you win. If not, you know, maybe you don't get through. At least that's exciting. You're not sitting on a team that has QBs and nothing else for multiple seasons, but not everybody wants to play that way. So we want to make sure that we're presenting different options for different style of managers.
And the other follow-up I had is, we always talk about, you know, trading back and being able to move back. And sometimes that's possible, sometimes it's not. But the other part of that is, this is something that I think I advocate this more than Sean does, but I think sometimes trading out of that pick into, at this point, you know, a second year, third year player is also an option that I'd like to try and see if it is possible. And it may not be possible in certain leagues to move, you know, the 103 or the 104 for some of these names. But, you know, the second year players who are looking at the moment would be like Rashee Rice, Zay Flowers, maybe even a Jordan Addison, for example. But is that something that I feel like I always bring it up? I don't know if it's a case. Is that something that you would advocate for, if possible, like, you know, moving out of this draft into second or third year players, if you can make the price work?
Well, Harrison and Neighbors are already more expensive in redraft formats than guys like Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison, who had fantastic rookie seasons. They're similarly expensive to someone like a Rashee Rice, who had a good rookie season and is connected to a Patrick Mahomes and also doesn't have a lot of competition for targets on that team. That part is interesting. I would argue that Rice is overvalued relative to some of those other second-year players, and that I find it pretty hard to imagine that Kelce doesn't have a solid season this year, at least, and that they also don't add someone. So I think that the target competition will be a little bit greater than people are thinking. I think that the target competition for Zay Flowers is minimal. So even when you adjust for what the passing volume is likely to be in that offense, I think that the overall size of the pie in Minnesota is going to be larger than people think. Now, that's something that, Colin, we don't know as we record this, because this is our second sort of Monday recording. We're specifically not doing free agency types of things on this show, because a lot of things will have changed between now and then. We don't know what's going to happen with the Minnesota quarterback situation. And yet, one of the things that you mentioned there is that we have proven players who were good prospects and also have now done it at the NFL level. Based on current pricing in this market, you should actually be able to get them plus something additional that is meaningful for some of these top six picks. And if you can do that, then you reduce your risk, you diversify your risk, and you potentially also get there faster while maintaining whatever the secondary piece is. Maybe it's a second round pick in 2025, and you're like, well, I've got to delay gratification for that. But there are so many different ways that you can win that way. Now, if you give up Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers and that person ends up being the next Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, you're going to have some regret there. So you have to also be willing to manage the emotional part of that, work through the various teams, and, you know, do your due diligence on those prospects and see how you feel about them. We'll have a ton of that on RotoViz for you, both with the rookie guide and with site content. We'll cover it on the shows. But in the end, I mean, it has to be your decision as well. And even if it's informed by things that we're doing and maybe other analysts that you like, you've got to make the choice, and you've got to be comfortable like going with your guy and going with, you know, to at least that tiny extent with your gut, and then being comfortable with the consequences, both good and bad.
Thanks again to Nick for sending in that question and the article that we talked about with Sean's kind of guide to Superflex drafts in the first two rounds for 2024. I will link that in today's show notes. You can check that out. You can also check out the 7th edition of the RotoViz Rookie Guide. That is now available as well. $20 for all 3 editions. If you want to head over and check them out, there will be a link in today's show notes to find those, also to get the rankings and tiers, the mock drafts, and much, much more in there with the player sims, prospect scores, and all that good stuff. That is going to do it for the 2nd edition of RotoViz Overtime this week. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. We will be back with more. Make sure you are subscribed to the RotoViz Overtime podcast feed to get those once they are available. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at OvertimeIreland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. Check out Sean's work up on RotoViz.com. And until we are back, have a good one.
Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.